I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It is a great honor and a privilege to be with you today here at St. John the Evangelist Church. Yesterday we had a retreat, and I want to thank all those who participated, and I want to thank those who prayed for the retreat in the last while, because we always need prayer as we prepare to talk about those things that have to do with our communal life, the life that we have been given by our Lord Jesus Christ to build community and to live in community. I want to begin today, if I can, with a story. This is a true story. Years ago, I was in a particular city, and in that city, I attended a church quite frequently. It was a wonderful place. It was a place that was known for its liturgy, for its Catholic worship. It was a place known for its music, which was very, in those days, contemporary, avant-garde. It was a church that was known for social justice advocacy, and many of those who were involved in social justice issues attended that church. And it was a church that had a strong sense of community. In fact, if you had asked them the question, "Are you a friendly community?" they would have said, "We are the friendliest of communities. We welcome everyone." But that was many years ago when I went to that church. And as the years went on, the local community around that church changed substantially. Portuguese, Italian, and Jewish people moved in. And the people that used to go to the church from the local community had died off or moved away to other places. And slowly but surely, when people would come and try to be part of the community said, "We want you to come. We're friendly people." But they wouldn't change. They wouldn't think about doing new things. They wouldn't think about the gifts that were being brought by those new people that were different gifts than the gifts they had. They had such a strong sense of community that they had become closed. And that often happens in Christian communities. We become so attached, if you will, to the kind of church that we are that we're not willing to move and become a different church. And people will say, "Well, why? Why should we change? We love our community. We enjoy being with each other." And so it is over the years, people died off, the children moved away, the cost of keeping the building became too much. And now, that church is no more. A once vibrant, engaged church known throughout the diocese, and it's a very large diocese, is now gone. And it is gone basically because of the unwillingness to change. You know, this issue of change is something that dogs are every step as Anglicans. Because on the one hand, we prize and even reverence tradition. And we should. There's a reason why tradition is important, and we as Anglicans affirm that. But by the same token, having traditions and having a sense of the past, although it's a good thing, it should not preclude our capacity to move into the future. And so it is that church passed away. Now, that church was not unlike St. John's. And the reason why I say that so provocatively is that you have a wonderful church. You have a wonderful community. You have wonderful resources and individuals who are willing to work together and be the people of God. And you all want to be responsive to the Spirit. But being responsive to the Spirit means an openness to do things differently. Now let's take a look at the readings today. We start with the gospel reading. The gospel reading is really a parable of the kingdom, or the bringing in of the reign of God. And it's an interesting one, because those who are privileged and invited to come to the banquet say, "No, I'm not interested." Now, Luke was making a statement beyond the statement that I'm trying to make today, and it was that the gospel was for the world, the universe, and both Jews and Gentiles were invited to be part of the kingdom. But it is important that those who were privileged and those who were part, if you will, of the community said, "No, we're not willing to go. We've got other things that we have to do." So the master sent out his servants and he said, "Go and get those who are poor and lonely. Get those people who are homeless and hungry. Bring them in." And so they went and they got those people. And it is important to know that in Luke's concept, this whole sense of the poor having a preferential option is very strong. In 30 references, Luke shows Jesus being the suffering servant, the servant who responds to the needs and the aspirations of all people, wherever he is. And so the poor came to that banquet. But there was still room for others, as there is always still room for others in our church. And so he sent the servants out again. "Bring them all in. Bring them all in. They are to be part of this celebration, part of this banquet. They are to be part of this community. The kingdom is for everyone. People can reject it. People can ignore it. People can be apathetic about it. However, it is for everyone. But at a certain point, everyone has to say, 'I want to be there. I want to make this my community. I want my relationship with God to be a priority.'" We see in the psalm today the sense of being called by God from the very beginning. It talks about being known when we are in our mother's womb. It talks about seeking in our lives. It talks about the call. This is the reality of our lives. This is the nature, if you will, of being human, is that we seek. We don't always understand what we're looking for, but we do know that there is something that is so important to us that will help us to live, that will make us part of something much greater than we are, something that will give us the peace that passes all understanding. We know instinctively that that's there, but we don't know necessarily how to find it. And so what we do is we look for community. And I'm not here just speaking about the Christian community. I'm speaking about all kinds of community, because we are people who live in community. And as Christians, we are particularly people who live in community. That's part of who we are. And we read that when we look at New Testament reading today. The New Testament reading, both in chapter 2 of Acts and in chapter 4 of Acts, gives a picture of what we do when we're the community of Christ. What do? We gather. We're part of the community. We eat together. We break bread together. We pray together. We hear the scriptures together, and we listen to the apostles' teaching. Those four elements are what we do. They are absolutely essential. Anything else is not. And I think that's important to say. We do lots of things. But if we don't have those foundation blocks, We can't be the people of God that God's calling us to be. We need to do those things. But what that speaks about, if you will, is it speaks about a community which is open, which is ready to respond to the call of God, a community which prays together, reads the scriptures together, breaks bread together. And if you read in Acts 2 and 4, it says, and many more people were added to the church. Because people were looking for that. They wanted to feel part of something. And they knew that there was something in that community that called to their hearts. And God spoke to them and called them. We read in the Old Testament reading today, beautiful words by Isaiah. And they are words that are a little bit jarring to Anglicans. We read in the first line, do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? You see, if there was to be a motto for the Anglican Church, it would be, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. You know, I mean, you know I'm right on this one. Okay? That would be the motto of the Anglican Church. And we do say it, and there's a reason why we say it, theologically and liturgically, and it has its place. But let me tell you, what it is not is a motto of the Church of the contemporary age. Our motto must be different today. Our motto must be prepared for change. In this first reading, we also get a glimpse of a God who changes. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I, says Isaiah about God, I am about to do a new thing. Well, you know, folks, if God can do a new thing, so can we. We can choose to be creative. We can choose to be even more compassionate and hospitable. We can choose to throw open the doors and the windows and let every person come into this place. And when they're in here, do you know what you have to do? And I have to do? We have to go out there and get more. The church at times has become a fortress. We come and we do the things that we do because we seek community. But the moment that community becomes so focused on itself, then all of a sudden these walls become a prison to us. And the creative energies that the Holy Spirit is willing to give us that will guide us and empower us to do God's mission is depleted. And so it is that this new creation that is waiting for us together is a power and a dynamism that will transform us, our hearts, but it will also transform our community, the worshiping community, and it will transform the community beyond these walls. Catching the vision is the thing. We were speaking in the retreat about listening to voices. We were listening to voices from the edge, those who are poor, those who are ignored, those who are unloved. We read about them in the gospel reading. They were invited. They came. And then the next one, Jesus said, this isn't enough. Go out into the community. And they went out into the local community and they dragged more people in. And those are the voices from nearby. But the big challenge for us is the voices of the heart. We need to ground ourselves in the love and the hope and the faith that we have in Christ Jesus. Our worship has to be so profound that we are moved to prayer when we think of the beauty that can be the gift that we have for ourselves, each other, the community beyond these walls. The vision that we can have is a vision where compassion and hope and helping becomes just the norm. But remember, this place is the place where people will come to experience God. But your task is not in this place. Your task is out there. And if we can see our church buildings as being the means by which our ministry and mission is supported, and if we can see ourselves as agents of our Lord Jesus Christ and empowered to do God's work and being out in the community, that dynamic of being here and receiving the benefits of a deep and profound prayer life and Eucharistic life will go to balance our work out there as we draw people to know Jesus Christ, as we are asked to do in the Scriptures. And so, my friends, this great challenge to us is not just change. The great challenge is abundant life. Our Lord came that we might have abundant life. And if we're going to have abundant life, it means that we must embrace it. And that means embracing things we don't know, we don't understand, we've never done before, but we do it in the sure knowledge that the Spirit is with us and we are guided by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.